The Pleasantness of a Religious Life by Matthew Henry, 1662-1714. Matthew Henry is most well known for his majestic exposition of the Old and New Testament. What follows is the first chapter of The Pleasantness of a Religious Life, which is being prepared for re-release as an e-publication later this summer. This was Henry's last work, and was in the process of being printed when he died at age 52. Unfortunately, our generation is all too content with gratifying momentary cravings, scratching about on the surface of a deeper satisfaction that can only be found once intimate fellowship is restored with our Creator. This winsome little book shows the joy of the Christian life and confutes those who naysay the Puritans as prophets of gloom and doom. That's the editor, Gerald Mick, Dr. Gerald Mick. Quote, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17. It is a plain truth which we have before us, and there is little in it that needs explanation. It would be well with us if we would readily subscribe to the certainty of it as we apprehend the sense and meaning of it. Nor will any complain that it is difficult to understand, except those who know and relish no other pleasures than those of sense, and therefore resolve not to give credit to it. Those who think, "How can this be, that there should be pleasure in piety?" will be ready to ask, "What is the meaning of this doctrine?" and to call it a hard saying. John chapter 6, verse 60. You know what pleasure is. I hope you know, in some degree, what the pleasure of the mind is, a pleasure which the soul has the sensation of. And do you not know, in some degree, what piety is? For piety is a due regard for the God above us, and having the eyes of the soul always lifted up to him. If you know what piety is, then you know what I mean when I say that there is an abundance of real pleasure and satisfaction in the ways of religion and godliness. Roman numeral number 1. But to help you a little in the understanding of it, and to prevent mistakes, observe first that I speak of true piety, and of that as far as it goes. Number 1. Hypocrites are very much strangers to the delights and pleasures of religion, and they are altogether so, for it is a joy which they do not intermeddle with. Counterfeit piety can never bring true pleasure. He that acts a part upon a stage, though it may be the part of one that is ever so pleasant, though he may exhibit the pleasantness well, yet he does not experience it. The pleasures of God's house do not lie in the outer courts, but within the veil. None know what the, quote, peace of God, close quote, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, means, but those who are under the dominion and operation of his grace. Nor can any that, quote, deny the power of godliness, close quote, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, expect to share in the pleasures of it. Quote, when wisdom enters into thine heart, close quote, it takes possession of it, and becomes a living, active principle there. Then, and not until then, it is, quote, pleasant unto thy soul, close quote. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. Those who aim at no more than the appearance of religion before men justly fall short of the comfort of it in themselves. Hypocrites have other things that they delight in, the satisfactions of the world, and the gratification of the senses. These things put their mouths out of taste for spiritual pleasures, so that they have no pleasure in them. Those who have their hearts set upon this world's goods are weary of new moons and Sabbaths. Amos chapter 8, verse 5. Wherefore, it is with good reason that Job asks, quote, will the hypocrite delight himself in the Almighty, close quote? Job chapter 27, verse 10. No, for his soul takes its ease in created things and does not return to the Creator as its rest and home. A hypocrite may have some transitory pleasure in religion from a land flood of sensible affections, yet he does not have the least taste of the, quote, river of God's pleasures, close quote. Psalm 36, verse 8. There were those who, quote, delighted to know God's ways, close quote. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2. They met with some agreeable notions in them, which surprised them and pleased their fancies, but they did not delight to walk in them. The stony ground, quote, received the word with joy, close quote. Luke chapter 8, verse 13, and yet received no lasting benefit by it. Herod heard John gladly, Mark chapter 6, verse 20. He found something very agreeable in his sermons, and something which his natural conscience could not help but embrace, and yet he could not bear to be reproved for his Herodias. A florid preacher, such as Ezekiel, was maybe as, quote, a very lovely song of one that can play well on an instrument, close quote, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 32. And yet, at the same time, if the word of the Lord touches the conscience and shows the people their transgressions, it is to them a reproach. Those whose hearts are not right with God in their religion cannot have the pleasures of communion with God. For it is only the soul that converses with God. Quote, bodily exercise profiteth little, close quote. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And therefore, it pleases little. The service of God is a burden and a task to an unsanctified, unrenewed heart. It is out of its element when it is brought into that air. Nor can they take any pleasure in communing with their own consciences or in their own reflections, for they are ready upon all occasions to give them uneasiness by charging them with that which is disagreeable to their profession and that which shows it to be a lie. And though they cry, peace, peace, to themselves, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, they that have that within them which tells them that the God of heaven does not speak peace to them, and this casts a damp upon all their pleasure, so that their religion itself gives them pain. God himself is a terror to them, and the gospel condemns them for their insincerity. In time of trouble and distress, none are so much afraid as the sinners in Zion. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14, the secret sinners there. For fearfulness is the greatest surprise of all to the hypocrites that were at ease in Zion and thought its strongholds would be their security, Amos chapter 6, verse 1. And thus, after having disguised themselves with it for a while, hypocrites cast off religion, releasing themselves from their profession of it, because it does not sit easy, and they are weary of it. Tradesmen who take no pleasure in their business will not stick to it for long. And the same is true for those who take no pleasure in their religion. Nor will anything carry us through the outward difficulties of it, but the inward delights of it. If these are lacking and the tree is not watered, its leaf will soon wither. See Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. The hypocrite will not always call upon God, for he does not long to do it. He will not delight himself in the Almighty, Job chapter 27, verse 10. This should not be a stumbling block to us. Hypocrites in religion prove apostates from it. This is so because they never found it pleasant. And they never found it pleasant because they were never sincere in it. This was their own fault, and not the fault of the religion they professed. Let us therefore take heed and beware of hypocrisy if ever we hope to find pleasure in religion. Counterfeit piety has some other end in view, some other end to serve than that which is the spring of true delight. They who rest in that hew them out cisterns that can hold but little water, and that dead water. Nay, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And how can they expect the pleasure which they have, who cleave to and continually draw from the fountain of life and the living waters? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. No, as their principles are, and such are their pleasures. As their aims are, and such are their joys. They appeal to the world, and to the world they shall go. But do not let the credit of religion suffer for the sake of those who are only pretenders to it, and indeed enemies to it. Number two, it is possible that true Christians may, through their own fault and folly, very much lack the pleasure of religion. And therefore, I say, true piety, as far as it goes, is very pleasant, as far as it has done its due influence upon us and is rightly understood and lived up to. We abide by the fact that wisdom's ways are always pleasant, and yet we must admit that wisdom's children are sometimes unpleasant, and in this come short of justifying wisdom in this matter as they ought to do, and rather give advantage to her accusers and prejudice to her cause. Either they miss these ways and turn aside out of them, and so lose the pleasure that is to be found in them, or they refuse to take the comfort which they might have in these ways. They hamper themselves with needless perplexities, make the yoke heavy which Christ has made easy, and that frightful which he designed to be encouraging. They indulge themselves, and then, as Jonah, when he was angry, justify themselves in causeless griefs and fears, and think that they do well to put themselves into an agony, to be very heavy and sore amazed, and their souls exceedingly sorrowful. But do not let true piety suffer in its reputation because of this. For although it is called a religious melancholy, yet it is not so, for it is contrary to the very nature and design of religion, but shelters itself under the color of it, and pretends to take rise from it. It should instead be called a superstitious melancholy, arising from such a slavish fear of God as the heathens were driven to by their demons and barbaric sacrifices. And there is a great injury to the honor of his goodness, as well as a great injury to themselves. If the professors of religion look in the world for that which is only to be found in God, namely perfect happiness, or if they look within themselves for that which is only to be found in Christ, namely a perfect righteousness, or if they look on earth for that which is only to be found in heaven, namely perfect holiness, and then fret, grieve, and go mourning from day to day because they're disappointed in their expectations, they only have themselves to thank for it. Quote, "Why seek they the living among the dead?" Close quote. Luke chapter 24, verse 5. But let all the laws and instances of true and pure religion prevail, and these tears will soon be wiped away. Let God's servants take their work before them, allowing each principle of their religion its due weight, and each practice of it its due place and proportion. Do not let them dash one precept of the gospel against another, any more than one tablet of the law is cast down and broken into pieces. And let them look upon it to be as much their duty to rejoice in Christ Jesus as it is to mourn for sin. Yea, and more, for this mourning paves the way to that joy. And then we shall not fear that their sorrows will shake the truth of our doctrine in the least degree. For as far as religion is carried, it will carry this character along with it, and no further. Roman numeral number 2. there is pleasure in true piety. There is that which we may find comfort in and fetch satisfaction from. There is a pleasant good as well as a useful one. That which is agreeable is pleasant, being that which the soul rejoices in, or at least finds rest in. That which it relishes, pleases itself with, and desires the continuation and repetition of. Let a man's faculties be in their due frame and temper, not weakened, corrupted, or depraved. And you will find that in the exercise of religion, there is something which highly suits and satisfies them. And this pleasure is such as is not allied by anything which attempts to cast a damper upon it. Number one, the ways of religion are right and pleasant. They are pleasant without the ally of injury and iniquity. Sin pretends to have its pleasures, but they are the, quote, perverting of that which is right, close quote, Acts chapter 13, verse 10. They are stolen waters, unjust, though pleasant, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17. But the pleasures of godliness are as agreeable to the rectitude of our nature as they are gratifying to the pure and undebauched desires of it. It is, quote, the way in which we should go, close quote, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And the way in which we would go by our own choice if we were not wretchedly degenerate. They are right, for they are marked out for us by our rightful Lord, who, having made us to be rational creatures, has authority to give us a law suited to our being. And he has done this both by natural conscience and by the written word. He has said, quote, this is the way, walk ye in it, close quote, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It is not only permitted and allowed for us to walk in it, but charged and commanded of us. He has sent us as messengers from him to travel this road upon his errand. And they are right, for they lead directly to our great end, and have a tendency to our welfare, both here and in eternity. They are the only right way to that which is the felicity of our being, which, if we do not walk in this way, we shall certainly miss and come short of. But that is not all. They are also pleasant. Quote, behold how good and how pleasant, close quote, Psalm 133, verse 1. It is the happiness of those who fear God, that he not only teaches them in the way that he shall choose, Psalm 25, verse 12, but also that their souls shall dwell at ease, Psalm 25, verse 13. Justly may they dwell at ease, who have infinite wisdom itself, to choose their way and guide them in it. That may be right, which is not pleasant, and that pleasant, which is not right, but religion is both. Therefore, in the next verse, it is compared to the tree of life. The tree of knowledge was indeed pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, but it was forbidden. Therefore, religion is called a tree of life, which was not only pleasant, but was allowed until sin had entered in, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Number 2. They are easy and pleasant. Pleasant without the ally of toil and difficulty. At least no more than that which arises from the corruption of our own nature. Indeed, this makes such opposition that we have need of arguments to prove that the practice of religion is easy. Yet it is more than easy. It is pleasant. Much less is said than is intended when we are told that, quote, his commandments are not grievous, close quote, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. They are not only not grievous and galling, but they are gracious and pleasing. His yoke is easy, Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. The word used in this text signifies more than easy. It is sweet and gentle. Not only easy as a yoke is to the neck when it is so well fitted as not to hurt it, but easy as a pillow is to the head when the head is weary and sleepy. It is not only tolerable, but very comfortable. There is not only no matter of complaint in the ways of God, nothing to hurt us, but there is also abundant grounds for joy and rejoicing. It is not only work which is not weariness, but work which is its own wages, such a tree of life as will not only screen us from the storm and tempest and feed us with necessary food, but also that we may sit down under the shadow of it with great delight, and the fruit of it will be sweet unto our taste. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. Number 3, they are gainful and pleasant, and have not the alloy of expense and loss. That may be profitable, which yet may be unpleasant, and that unpleasant, which afterward may prove very unprofitable and injurious. But religion brings both pleasure with it and profit after it. The pleasures of religion do not cost us dearly. There is no loss by them when the account comes to be balanced. The gain of this world is usually fetched in by toil and uneasy labor, which are grievous to flesh and blood. The servants of this world are drudges to it. They rise up early and sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows, Psalm 127, verse 2, in pursuit of its wealth. They labor, yet deprive their souls of good. But the servants of God have pleasure in the work they have to do, and they shall be recompensed for it. The practice of serious godliness not only tends to our happiness in the next life, but is also greatly conducive to our comfort in this life. David observes, to the honor of religion, that not only after keeping, but in keeping God's commandments, there is a great reward, Psalm 19, verse 11, a present great reward of obedience in obedience. Quote, a good man is satisfied from himself, close quote, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. That is, from that which divine grace has wrought in him. And the saints are said to sing in the ways of the Lord, Psalm 138, verse 5. Even as those that find them pleasing or find them pleasant ways. The more closely we adhere to the rules of religion, the more intimate is our conversation with divine things. And the more we live with an eye to Christ and another world, the more comfort we are likely to have in our hearts. Quote, great peace have they that love God's law, close quote. Psalm 119, verse 165. And the more they love it, the greater their peace is. Moreover, it is promised to the church that all her children shall be taught of the Lord, and then great shall be the peace of her children. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. It shall be entailed upon them. Peace like a river, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, rolling on from age to age. Roman numeral number 3. I call it a true pleasure. As there is science falsely so called, so there is pleasure falsely so called. But this we are sure of, that it is a true pleasure which religion secures to us, a pleasure that deserves the name and answers it to the fullest. Number 1, it is a true pleasure, for it is real and not counterfeit. Carnal worldlings pretend a great satisfaction in the enjoyments of the world, and the gratifications of sense. Quote, soul, take thine ease, close quote, says one, Luke chapter 12, verse 19. Quote, I have found me out substance, close quote, says another, Hosea chapter 12, verse 8. Even, quote, the life of my hand, close quote. Quote, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, close quote, Psalm chapter 10, verse 3. But Solomon assures us not only that the end of that mirth is heaviness, but that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. Both those that make a god of their belly and those that make a god of their money find such constant pain and uneasiness attending their spiritual idolatries that their pleasure is but from the teeth outward. Discontentment at present disappoints, and the fear of worse, ungoverned passions, which seldom are made less turbulent by the gratifications of the appetite, and above all, conscience of guilt and dread of divine wrath. These give them the lie when they boast of their pleasures, which, with such allies, are not to be boasted of. They would not be thought to be disappointed in that which they have chosen for their happiness, and therefore they seem to be pleased, when really their heart cannot but know its own bitterness. Proverbs 14, verse 10. And many of the good things of this world, of which we said, quote, these things shall comfort us, close quote, prove instead to be vexations to us. And we are disappointed in the very thing in which we expected our greatest satisfaction. If we say, our bed shall comfort us, Job chapter 7, verse 13, perhaps it is not a bed to rest on, but a bed to toss upon, as it was to poor Job, when, quote, wearisome nights were appointed to him, close quote, Job chapter 7, verse 3. Nay, in the things of this life, we are such strangers to real pleasure, and so often do we deceive ourselves with that which is counterfeit, that we wish to live those days of life which we are told will be evil days, and those years of which we are assured that we shall say we have no pleasure in them, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. But the pleasures of religion are solid, substantial pleasures, and not painted, gold, and not gilded over. These sons of pleasure inherit substance, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21. It is that which is the firm foundation, the strong superstructure, the consolations of God, which are neither few nor small, Job chapter 15, verse 11. While a vain and foolish world causes their eyes to fly upon that which is not, Proverbs 23, verse 5. Worldly people pretend to the joy which they have not, but godly people conceal the joy they have. Like their master, they have, quote, meat to eat, which the world knows not of, close quote, John chapter 4, verse 32. Number 2, it is rational and not brutish. It is the pleasure of the soul, not of sense. It is the peculiar pleasure of a man, not that which we have in common with the inferior creatures. The pleasures of religion are not those of the mere animal life, which arise from the gratification of the senses of the body and its appetites. No, they affect the soul, that noble part of us by which we are allied to the world of spirits, and therefore they are to be called the true pleasures of a man. The brute creatures have the same pleasures of sense that we have. Perhaps in some of them the senses are more exquisite, and consequently they have in them a much higher degree. But their pleasures are not liable to the correctives of reason and conscience as ours are. Who lives such merry lives as the Leviathan who plays in the deep, Psalm 104, verse 26, or as the birds that sing among the branches, verse 12? But what are these to a man who, being taught more than the beasts of the earth and made wiser than the fowls of heaven, Job chapter 35, verse 11, and being dignified above the beasts, not so much by the powers of reason as by a capacity for religion, is certainly designed for enjoyments of a more excellent nature, for spiritual and heavenly delights. When God made man, he did not leave him to the enjoyments of the wide world with the other creatures, but enclosed him in a paradise, a garden of pleasure, where he had delights properly suited to him. These were signified by the pleasures of a garden, pleasant trees and their fruits, but to a greater degree, the delights of the soul, a ray of divine light and a spark of divine fire newly breathed into him from above, upon which God's image and likeness were imprinted. And we will never recover this great happiness which was lost by our first parents indulging of the appetites of the body until we come to the due relish of those pleasures which man has in common with angels and a due contempt of those which he has in common with the brutes. The pleasures of wisdom's ways may have a secondary effect upon the body and work to its advantage. Hence it is said to be health to the body and marrow to the bones, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. But its residence is in the hidden man of the heart, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And its comforts delight the soul in the multitude of its thoughts, Psalm 94, verse 19. It is pleasant to the soul, making it like a watered garden. With the assistance of divine grace, these are pleasures which a man may reason himself into, and not, as it is with sensual pleasures, reason himself out of. Apart from that of religion, there is no pleasure which pretends to be an intellectual pleasure, except that of learning and honor. But with regard to the pleasure of a proud man and his dignities, and the respects paid him, and the acclamations of a crowd, merely affects the fancy. This is not glory, but vain glory. The folly of him that receives the honor fed by the folly of those that give it. In this regard, it does not deserve to be called a rational pleasure, for it gratifies a lust of the mind. And this is as much an instance of our degeneracy as any of the lusts of the flesh are. And as to the pleasure of a scholar removed from religion, it is indeed rational and intellectual, but it is only the pleasure of the mind in knowing truths and not in its enjoying good. Solomon, who had as much of this pleasure as ever any man has had, and as nice a taste of it, yet has assured us from his own experience that in much wisdom of this kind is much grief. And, quote, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow, close quote, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. But the pleasures which a holy soul has in knowing God and in communion with him are not only of a spiritual nature, but they are satisfying. They fill the soul and make a happiness adequate to its best affections. Number 3. It is durable and not flashy or transitory. That is true pleasure, which will continue with us, a tree of life, Proverbs 3, verse 18, and not quiver as the green herb, Psalm 37, verse 2. It will not be as the light of a candle, which is soon burned out, but as that of the sun, which is a faithful witness in heaven. We reckon that the most valuable, which is the most durable. The pleasures of sense are fading and perishing. As the world passes away, and so do the lusts of it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. That which at first pleases and satisfies, after a while, cloys and fades. Quote, as the crackling of thorns under a pot, close quote, which makes a great blaze and a great noise for a little while, but soon ends in soot and ashes. Such is the laughter of the fool, and the end of his mirth is heaviness. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 6. But the pleasures of religion will abide. They do not wither in the winter, nor tarnish with time, nor does age wrinkle their beauty. Frosts nip them not, nor do storms blast them. They continue through the greatest opposition of events, and despise that time and chance which happens to all things under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Believers, when they are sorrowful, are but as sorrowful, for they are always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. If an immortal soul makes the eternal God its chief joy, what should hinder it from rejoicing evermore? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. For as the treasure is laid up there, and so is the pleasure, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. The joy which Christ gives to those that are his is joy which no man taketh from them. John chapter 16, verse 22. It is their heart that rejoices. Their joys are the beginning of everlasting pleasures, being the down payment and foretaste of them, so that they are, in effect, pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. Therefore, the great truth which I desire my heart and yours may be fully convinced of is this: a holy heavenly life, spent in the service of God and in communion with him, is, without doubt, the most pleasant and comfortable life any man can live in this world.